You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, everyone. This is Mark Goddard from Lost in Space. Remember me? Don West. I want to say hi to you all and stay tuned to Flopcast.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 292.
And those sleigh bells are ringing.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hi, Kevin.
Yeah, I trust that you're out there somewhere.
Yeah, just like they say in that Moody Blues song.
We're in two different locations right now, if it's not completely obvious to you listeners, and you're in some weird undisclosed location somewhere, and we're not even Skyping. We're using like tin cans and a string right now, essentially. So we'll see how this goes.
I get extra tin cans just for this.
Oh, good.
But where I am is not nearly as important as why I am where I am, and that's to protect you from cornflake cooties. So
we have quarantined you this week for the sake of the health of all the citizens, all the chickens throughout Chicken Town, right? Because you're a little under the weather.
I have been.
Well, our internet connection is also very much under the weather tonight.
It probably caught it from me.
Yeah, we just spent like a half hour trying and failing to communicate by Skype, so now we've resorted to even more primitive options. Let's see what happens.
I'm tying up all of the phones in Chickentown Outpost to make this happen. That is my dedication to you, dear Flopcast listeners. Yeah.
Next, we're going to try the telegraph. We might just type out the show in Morse code, see how that goes.
I'm going to attach messages to turkeys and send them to you. That would be like a different way to Turkst.
Yeah, we could try Messenger Turkey. It just might come to that.
Messenger Turkeys, yes.
Before this connection goes bad on us, which it probably will at any minute, we're going to try to keep this short. But this is The Show Goes On, kids. This is episode 292. We are celebrating 1992 as part of our 10-part series about the 90s. So, Cornflake, what do you have for us about 1992 for National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Kevin, you say we're celebrating, but I don't know. Kind of feels like I'm doing most of the celebrating.
You're celebrating, I'm tolerating. That's how we're attacking the 90s.
So, when I was looking back through the 90s to figure out what stuck out for me in 1992, I started thinking about the Animaniacs, and I thought, didn't they come out around that time? And then my research revealed that no, the Animaniacs didn't hit the airwaves until 1993. So what on earth am I yammering about for 1992?
Yeah.
Think about their theme song. There is a reference to a pop culture happening from 1992. There's the part where it goes, Dot is cute and Yakko yaks. Wacko packs away the snacks, while Bill Clinton plays the sax. Because Bill Clinton, who was running for president at the time, played his saxophone during an appearance on the Arsenio Hall show.
Oh, yes.
Now, Kevin, trivia question for you.
Okay.
Do you remember what song he played?
Absolutely, because they showed that clip a billion times. He was up on the stage at the Arsenio Hall show. He was wearing sunglasses, so looked nice and goofy. And I believe he was playing For Your Eyes Only by Sheena Easton.
Exactly. Not.
What do I win?
You win the entire back catalog of Sheena Easton.
Oh, good. That's really all I want for Christmas.
But sadly, Kevin, it's the consolation prize because the answer, it was Heartbreak Hotel.
Yes, of course. I remember it well. It's only on your radar because those goofy cartoon characters mentioned it the following year.
Yes. For season one, that was the lyric. And there is a cartoon of Bill Clinton wearing sunglasses and playing the saxophone during that part. For those who are curious, the Animaniac theme song only referenced Bill Clinton in season one. Thereafter, the lyric was changed. It was changed in the next season, season two, to we've got wisecracks by the stacks. And then starting with season three and going on from there, we pay tons of income tax.
Yeah, it's probably for the best that they kept changing it, because it became a very dated reference very quickly, I would think.
Right. And you gotta stay current when it comes to comedy.
Yes.
So that's how it played out after that. But that reference in the Animaniacs song started with something interesting that happened in 1992.
Well, you know, I was looking for something I could contribute to our discussion of 1992 as well, and I was looking at TV also, and I ended up landing on a cartoon as well, by coincidence. I was looking at what kind of TV shows debuted in 1992, and I just jotted down a few that I particularly remembered, starting with a couple of cartoons that were not around for long that we've talked about before. And that was in the wake of The Simpsons. They rushed all these other primetime cartoons on the air, including Capital Critters.
Mm-hmm, I remember them.
It was like a bunch of little like animals, rodents and bugs and stuff who lived in the White House. And that did not last long. And also Fish Police.
I was wondering if you were going to mention Fish Police.
Yeah, Fish Police I was particularly excited about because I was a fan of the comic book, the original independently published Fish Police comics from back in the mid-80s. And yeah, Fish Police did not last long at all.
I'm sorry. I know it's not my fault, but I still feel bad.
You are only partly responsible for the cancellation of Fish Police.
You know, if I could have done more to keep it on the air for you, I would have.
But another show that I was very excited about in 92, not a cartoon, but Bob, which was the third sitcom to star Bob Newhart, because he had the Bob Newhart Show back in the 70s when he was the psychiatrist living in Chicago, and then the 80s series Newhart.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one in Vermont. You know, he was running the inn in Vermont with Larry Darrell and Daryl and that whole crew.
Yeah.
So in the 90s, he came back in 92. His third series was just called Bob. And this one I was really looking forward to because he was a comic book artist on the show.
Wow. I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, it was not around for long. It lasted like a season and a half, maybe. But probably the top show to come out in 92 for our purposes, and another cartoon. It was 1992. This year is the 25th anniversary of Batman the Animated Series.
Such an excellent cartoon.
And you were a fan, as I recall.
Yes. Yes, we watched that in our household. So I loved all of it, but I especially appreciated Poison Ivy's character.
Poison Ivy was cool, yes.
Poison Ivy was amazing in that series.
Yeah, that was just, they took the 50 years of history of Batman at that point and just boiled it down to the very best, most perfect version. That's really probably the best interpretation of that character.
I would agree.
It's weird that it's been 25 years.
Yeah, it does not seem like it's been that long, that's for sure. And there have been a lot of cool Batman things since then.
Yes.
Particularly, I really enjoyed the Batman Lego movie.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, Lego Batman was great. Batman the Brave and the Bold cartoon was great. But I think that original 92 series is going to stand as the best ever.
I would agree. I'm with you there.
Yeah. Especially Poison Ivy.
Yes. I wanted to be her. See? This 90s talk stuff is not so bad.
It had its moments. And, you know, I'm actually sort of jumping ahead to 93 right now, because I wanted to fill you in on just a few days ago. Remember how I went to Nikki Lupirelli's David Bowie tribute show, Burlesque Concerts, Thanksgiving weekend?
Uh-huh.
Well, just a few days ago, I went back to that same venue. I went back to Oberon to another concert / burlesque show.
Oh.
I've got to start staying home once in a while, you know?
What fun is that?
That's a good point. Yeah, I went back because while we were at Nikki's shows, we were looking at the schedule, and I said, oh, look at that. It was a show called Something Strange, and it was a concert and burlesque show based on The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, I had to go back.
Right, that sounds very festive. And how can you pass on something so festive?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, you know, it's the holidays. So yeah, back we go. In fact, Martha was kind enough to tag along with me. I dragged her to a burlesque show at Oberon twice within the same week. But she accompanied me to Nightmare Before Christmas, which was nice. And my friend Amanda was there, actually, which was a nice surprise. But this was not Nikki's band. This was a whole different band.
Oh.
I had heard this band before. I was somewhat familiar with their music, but I'd never seen them live. It's a band called Walter Sickert and the Army of Broken Toys.
That's kind of perfect for the Nightmare Before Christmas.
They are a frighteningly perfect band for a show like this. This is like a big, weird, crazy, goofy band that uses a lot of weird instruments and just this big, crazy guy as the front man. And he was wearing like a giant hat with the head of the mayor, like the two-headed mayor from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, the band was in costume, plus, of course, all the dancers are in costume. But they had a flute player. They had the guy playing the upright bass. They had a melodica, you know, my favorite instrument.
No way.
Oh, man, they were ready. Yeah.
Nothing says the holidays like a melodica.
You need a melodica if you're going to do the holidays right. That is correct.
Right.
Yeah, very cool show. You know, they used a lot of video and, of course, did all the songs. And just from a storytelling perspective, I was thinking, it'd be hard to follow the story just based on watching this performance of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized, who cares? Like, everybody in this room knows the story.
Right.
It occurred to me.
It's really sweet of you, though, that you wanted to make sure that nobody got misled.
Yeah, I was looking around. Like, I was grabbing, shaking people down. Like, do you get this? Do you follow what's happening right now? I was really making a pest of myself. There's a festive night out anyway for Martha and me. So there's one goofy thing I did this past week. And the other goofy thing was Saturday we went down to Connecticut for a couple of reasons.
A couple of reasons.
Yeah, we had a couple of things on the agenda down in Connecticut. I took the mayor down there, you know? She didn't know what we were doing. It's another one of those weird surprise trips. But I'm going to jump ahead to the second thing we did.
Okay.
Which is Saturday evening, we went to see a Speak Up performance. And you may recall, several years ago, you and I went down to Connecticut for the very first Speak Up storytelling event. Remember that?
Yes, the inaugural event.
We were there for the very first one. This is our friend Matthew Dix, who you've heard on the show.
Matthew Dix finds amazing storytellers, and he's fantastic himself.
Yeah, he is a novelist and a storyteller and an old friend of mine. That was a few years ago. What was that, like 4 years ago or something like that? It's been a while.
Yeah, and it was on the same day as Free Comic Book Day.
Yes.
I remember that adventure.
Yeah, we did a crazy road trip down to Hartford, Connecticut. So it was fun to see how the show has grown since the last time we were there. That's a cool night anyway, so I recommend. I know that most of our listeners are not in the Connecticut area, but if anyone's heard The Moth, if you've heard The Moth on NPR or The Moth podcast, or if you've been to a live Moth storytelling event, then it's like that. It's a similar storytelling kind of a night like that. Always a great time. It was nice to catch up with Matt also. Hadn't seen him in person in a couple of years, I think, probably not since we had him on the show. He was impressed that we'd driven all the way down for his show. He actually introduced us out of the audience and mentioned that we were at the very first one.
Wow.
So that was cool. Now, the other thing we did in Connecticut, Cornflake, is a follow-up on a Flopcast from just 2-3 weeks ago. And that is, you may recall, we did Turkeys in the News Thanksgiving week.
Yes.
And now, the Flopcast presents...
Oh my God, they're talking!
In the news!
Was it Wethersfield, Connecticut?
Yeah, we did a Turkeys in the News about old Wethersfield, Connecticut, where everyone in this little town has become obsessed with a turkey. A turkey named Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin the turkey is just this turkey that for the last several months, I guess, has been hanging around Wethersfield, Connecticut. Kevin is just there by himself, hanging around. and has become sort of a local celebrity, and people love seeing Kevin. Everybody in town knows this turkey. We reported on Kevin in our Turkeys in the News segment. So,
and it was just a matter of time.
It had to happen, you know?
Right. You had to meet your namesake.
It was inevitable. Yeah, well, I'm thinking we're going to Hartford for the Speak Up event. Wethersfield, very, very close to Hartford, as it happens.
Oh.
So, you know, I thought,
how fortuitous.
Come on, we've got to go meet Kevin the Turkey. So I did a little advanced research. Kevin the Turkey has his fans online. So I reached out to an online Kevin the Turkey fan group and said,
you contacted his fan base?
I reached out to the Kevin the Turkey fan base, yes. I asked these people, hey, if I were to arrive in Wethersfield, Connecticut on a Saturday afternoon, what's the likelihood that I would be able to actually see Kevin the Turkey? And all these good people of Connecticut wrote back to me immediately, and they said, your chances are just about 100%.
Wow.
They said, Kevin is always there. We see him every day. He's always hanging around. And if he's not right downtown, just ask around. We'll tell you where he is. So, armed with that vote of confidence, I said, all right, sounds good. And we headed down to Old Wethersfield, Connecticut. So the mayor and I arrived right in the middle of town. Beautiful town, by the way. This is like one of those just quaint, adorable, old-fashioned, old-timey New England towns. You know, it looks like Norman Rockwell just painted the whole town. Very cool little town. And so we got to the downtown area where Kevin is known to hang out all the time. And I didn't see the turkey anywhere.
Uh-oh.
I checked online and saw that Kevin had been spotted earlier that day, about maybe a half mile or so outside of downtown, like over near a park. There's like a park in this kind of big historic old house. And apparently Kevin's been down there that day.
I see.
So we headed down that way and okay, there he is. There's Kevin.
Yeah. Ah, so it turned out to be a reliable tip. Good. Good, good.
The people delivered. They said I would find the turkey, and yeah, there he was. Kevin is just standing there by the side of the road.
Almost as if he knew you were coming.
He knew we'd be there. All right, so we park, and we kind of slowly walk up towards the turkey. We don't want to frighten the turkey. We don't want to walk right up to him, so we're keeping a respectful distance and checking out the turkey, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Cornflake, it was crazy, just every car that goes by would slow down to take a picture or wave to the turkey. Everybody in town knows who this turkey is. Like, people would drive by, slow down, roll their window down just to yell, "Hi, Kevin." Everybody driving by was calling out to the turkey by name as they drove by. We saw a police car drove by. And now that Kevin was not in the road, he was not causing a problem or anything. He was up on the sidewalk. Police car drove by and just gave it a friendly little beep as they went by. Because obviously they know this turkey quite well as well. So it's crazy. Just all the neighbors, people coming out of their house and waving to the turkey.
When you mentioned the police, I got a little nervous for a second. I thought, uh-oh, I hope this turkey does not get in trouble for loitering. Because it sounds like he does an awful lot of that.
Yeah, Kevin seemed to have a good relationship with the police overall, from what I've heard.
Well, that's excellent, because it's not that way for every turkey, let me tell you.
Yes. So after we spent some time hanging out with Kevin the Turkey, then we drove back into the downtown area. There's like a little gift shop downtown that has sort of become Kevin the Turkey headquarters. The Kevin the Turkey merchandise is for sale in this place. In the back of the store, they have like a whole section, like several shelves just full of Kevin the Turkey stuff.
Wow. That's like a dream come true.
So we loaded up on some Kevin the Turkey merchandise, you know? Got to support the Kevin the Turkey industry. So we got a couple of things. We got a t-shirt. Felicity got a nice Team Kevin t-shirt. And we got a pint glass also. Got a nice Kevin the Turkey pint glass.
Oh, that's perfect.
I assume a nice percentage of the profits are going directly to the turkey.
I'm pretty sure that the turkey's agent lined it up that way.
Yeah, I'm sure that the agent set up a good deal for the turkey, so he's getting his fair share of all these turkey dollars that are rolling into the town, you know? So we got our t-shirt and our pint glass. It was a weird thing at this store, too. It's a cool store. It's like a nice little touristy gift shop kind of store. But they had these boxes of comic books So I started poking through the boxes, and it seemed to be just a bunch of comic books from the 90s, including last week for 1991, you told us about Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of Ren and Stimpy comics from the 90s were for sale at this store.
Neat.
Isn't that weird?
Well, weird and incredible.
Yeah, this might be the personal collection of Kevin the Turkey. Maybe Kevin used to collect comics back then, and now he's selling them on commission through this gift shop.
That turkey knows how to turn a buck.
That turkey is making a fortune. So we buy our stuff, we leave the store, and then we figure, well, before we leave town, let's circle back up and see the turkey one more time. So we did. We headed back up that way, and Kevin the Turkey is still hanging around. So again, we got out of the car, went up and to check out the turkey a little bit more. So while we're watching Kevin the Turkey this time, a car pulled up, like a big SUV, and these women were feeding Kevin the Turkey out of their car.
Oh.
There's been a lot of that going on, apparently. People feed the turkey. And this is where things get a little controversial, you know?
Yeah.
Because this might not be the best thing for the turkey.
No.
Because the thing about Kevin the Turkey, the problem is, Kevin is not afraid of cars. And he will walk right up to cars, he will run alongside cars, and he will stand in the middle of the street.
Uh-oh.
So that's become an issue as far as traffic in the town. Kevin will cause traffic jams sometimes because everyone just stops and waits, and the turkey is just standing there. So we watched these people feeding Kevin, and then they tried to drive away, and it was hard to drive away because the turkey just walks right alongside the car, and then they drive faster, and the turkey runs right alongside the car right next to the tires. You know, it's scary. Like, this turkey doesn't understand how dangerous it is. It's just not afraid of anything. Like, it chases after the mail truck all the time. Anytime it sees the mail truck, it freaks out, and
I remember you saying that he doesn't like the mailman.
Yeah, I think I may have been misinformed about that. I think Kevin does like the mail truck. In fact, it just wants to follow the mail truck.
Oh.
Yeah. There have been times that Kevin strayed too far from downtown, and people were worried that he was going too far and getting into a more high-traffic area. And on at least one occasion, the mail truck led Kevin back into downtown Wethersfield.
Oh.
Intentionally.
Like the turkey pied piper.
Yeah, yeah. The mail carriers just took it upon themselves to lead the turkey back to safety. So anyway, we watched Kevin being fed by people in a car. And then when that car left, Kevin chased after the car and then ended up standing in the middle of the street.
Oh.
And now cars are coming and cars are stopped in both directions because there's a turkey in the road. And I'm standing there now, and I thought, well, this must happen 50 times a day.
Right.
So what can you do? And then I thought, well, you know, this is the one time that I'm here. So this one time, at least, I guess I'm going to get this turkey out of the road. So I walked out in the middle of the road and kind of shoved the turkey along, you know. got Kevin to, I was trying to push him one way, and he kind of zigged around and started going the other way. I said, all right, fine, you want to go that way? We've got to pick a side, Kevin. You're in the middle of the road. You got to move. I heard a little kid like yelling from his house, like, Kevin, get out of the road. Like, everyone just yells at this turkey all day. So this one time, at least, I got the turkey out of the road. Traffic starts moving again. People are thanking me from their cars as they're going by.
Oh, wow.
So said our goodbyes to Kevin the turkey and went off to see the Speak Up storytelling event anyway. So it was a lovely Saturday down in Connecticut. Now, it's been a few days as we record this, and things have been happening since then. Things happened today. As we record this right now, Cornflake, earlier today, Kevin the Turkey had wandered into an even more dangerous high-traffic area.
Oh.
And there'd been a lot of debate about, like, some of Kevin's fans thought that Kevin should be moved, be relocated somewhere safer, and other people said, this is a wild turkey. You know, there's wild turkeys everywhere. What can you do? This turkey is hanging out here, but we can't just move every wild turkey around. At this point, I tend to agree with the people that said Kevin should be relocated.
Yeah.
Because the difference is, yeah, there's wild turkeys everywhere, but they move in packs and they go into the woods. This turkey just wants to stand in the middle of the street.
Right.
And be among people and cars.
Right.
And everybody loves him, but I also don't want to see the turkey get hurt, and I don't want to see people get hurt if he caused an accident, you know? So anyway, following Kevin's latest brush with traffic hazardous conditions earlier today, as we record, it was just a few hours ago, Kevin the turkey was captured and relocated to a state forest in Connecticut.
So you met him just in time.
I'm telling you, yeah. It was 4 days before Kevin was escorted out of Wethersfield when we happened to stop by to meet the turkey. He's been hanging around there for months. So yeah, we did pay our visit just in time. And I think people are going to miss seeing their friend the turkey every day. You know, I know that the locals loved seeing this turkey hanging around. But I think it's for the best, you know?
Right.
Before this ended in tragedy, we've relocated Kevin the turkey to a safer wooded area where hopefully he will have a nice peaceful turkey life. So I think we can call this a happy ending to the saga of Kevin the turkey.
Right. Because from what you've described, the fact that he became a local celebrity and the fact that the mailman let him back when he got lost and then the happy ending in the woods. If there ever was to be another holiday Rankin-Bass special, I'd want it to be about Kevin the turkey.
Yeah, this would make a great holiday special.
Because as you've been describing all of this, this is exactly what I have pictured.
We need to recreate Kevin the turkey in stop motion animation from Rankin-Bass. You are correct.
I mean, Kevin the turkey, that even has the same syllables as Frosty the Snowman, so you could almost, like, fit it to that song.
They can use the same music.
And make new lyrics. Well, I'm glad that the timing was such that you did get to meet Kevin. I would have felt really bad if I had heard that you had plans to go down, and then suddenly they had relocated the turkey, and you missed your chance.
Yeah. I'm glad Kevin's in a safer place now.
Well, cool. I hope they keep that little store open so that people can still get their nifty Kevin merch.
Yeah, hopefully they'll still be selling Kevin stuff for a while. I hope Kevin got to take his Ren and Stimpy comics with him off to live in the woods, you know?
If someone were to exile me to the woods, I'd want my comic books.
You'd want your Ren and Stimpy comics.
Yes.
Of course. That's all you need to survive in the wild.
I don't think it actually works that way, but it's an interesting thought.
All right, Cornflake, that concludes the silly things I've done in the last few days. Now we got to throw things back over to you, and I think this is the end today, right, of your run of your New Year's resolution was to share with us a podcast recommendation every month, and you've done it, and this is the exciting finale right now for December.
It is, and so I want to make a quick correction. If I was to be exiled to the woods, I'd need my Ren and Stimpy comic books, and I would need my podcasts. And my offering for December, I gotta say, it's a bit of a guilty pleasure. Do you remember, Kevin, back in May, episode 264 of the Flopcast, when we got a hold of an old diary from a library fair sale that you went to?
Yeah, I found this book 20 years ago, but this was a sort of a diary type book that a girl had partly filled out in like 1966, I believe.
Well, it inspired me, and I'm not quite sure how I found this podcast, but it certainly reminded me of that episode we did back in May, because I discovered the Mortified podcast, and I'm hooked now. Have you ever heard of the Mortified podcast?
I have heard of this, and in fact, we mentioned Oberon, the club in Harvard Square, where I just saw the Nightmare Before Christmas burlesque show. I know that they do live Mortified events there sometimes.
Oh, I've got to check one of those out, because
I think we have to go back.
Yes. Evidently, it started with a documentary, but it's a podcast, a show where adults get in front of an audience and they bring with them their diaries from when they were in grade school, junior high, high school, and they read diary entries from when they were kids, or sometimes letters they wrote to people, or lyrics to songs that they wrote back when they were a kid in school.
Yeah.
As the show's announcer says at the end of each episode, all of these readings and performances are done with no embellishments, just God-given awkwardness. And I cannot get enough, because I was an awkward kid, and now I'm an awkward adult. And sometimes I feel a lot of embarrassment just over my less graceful moments in my life and my social missteps. And
this whole show is a social misstep.
Yes.
What are we doing? So I've heard of Mortified, and I knew what it was, but I knew of these live events. I'm not sure I even knew that there was a podcast version.
Yep, there's a new episode every week, and I've heard episodes about breakups, diary entries about being caught reading your sister's diary, just all the things that you kind of, you do as a kid, and then you realize, oh, well, that's not really cool. But they call it sharing the shame. And, you know, I feel a little better about myself every time I listen to this show. Because, you know, I look back at some of my more embarrassing moments, particularly from when I was a teen, and I get a little red in the face. But now I realize I was not the only one having those moments, and I don't feel so bad.
Well, now my question is, when you were having all your teenage social missteps, did you write anything down?
You bet I did. So who knows? You might find me on a stage someday being recorded for the Mortified podcast. You never know.
All right. I'm going to get you on the stage at Oberon. You don't even have to join the lipstick criminals to get up there.
Oh, yeah. I actually did a lot of journal writing right through high school. So I'll have to go digging through my old writings and see what I can find.
Oh, this is going to be good.
So I hope going into 2018, I can continue to adopt new podcasts, if not at the same rate that I have over 2017. And now I just have to finalize my decision for my 2018 New Year's resolution. So I have it ready for the Flopcast as we go into the new year.
Yes, yes. There is no shortage of fine, fine podcasts out there for you to enjoy. And as I always say to people, if you're like me and you just listen to podcasts all the time, it eliminates the need for you to have your own thoughts.
You're right.
It's great. Just let other people scream things directly into your brain all the time. It's the best. Speaking of which, as we wind up this show, Cornflake, let's get in some Earth Station 1 plugs. We are part of the ESO network, of course. And another reminder, hey, it's the holidays. It's the holiday shopping season. And you know what you want to do if you're going to buy stuff on Amazon?
Go to the ESO Podcast Network website first.
Yes. Don't go straight to Amazon. Go to esopodcast.com. Click on the amazon.com link right at the top of that page. That takes you to Amazon. Now you buy whatever you want, and our podcast network gets a little tiny commission on whatever you buy. I just did this yesterday, Cornflake. I bought some stuff on Amazon, you know, for the holidays.
Uh-huh.
But I went through esopodcast.com to do it.
Sweet.
Yeah, and it helps us support our network, you know, which, speaking of podcasts, we have a whole network here just bursting with quality podcasts for you to enjoy. Check them out at esopodcast.com. Also check out our new Tee Public store. That's TEE Public. And you can buy t-shirts and all sorts of stuff related to the ESO network there. And again, you can link to that right from esopodcast.com. And also, while you're doing your holiday shopping at Amazon, don't forget, we have a new book out. The Earth Station 1 Tales of the Station Volume 2. This is a new book of short science fiction stories sort of themed around the ESO network. And among the authors, strangely enough, is me.
That's right.
I contributed a short story to this book, believe it or not. Check out Earth Station 1 Tales of the Station Volume 2, and you can find a very weird story by me. And that story just might involve a chicken. Not a turkey. We don't need a science fiction story about a turkey. We're living a turkey story right here in New England right now, you know?
Yes.
Thanks to our buddy Kevin. But yeah, check out our book. And in fact, Volume 1 is still available also. You could get Earth Station 1 Tales of the Station Volume 2 and the original Volume 1.
I have that one, Volume 1. I like it. I like it a lot.
You got Volume 1? And yeah, we're going to set you up with Volume 2 as well. We've got some copies of Volume 2 on the way. All right, there's some plugs for the network. Now, Cornflake, why don't you get us out of here, please?
All right. Flopcast.net is our website. It is a fantastic place to visit us between shows. You can find us at facebook.com/flopcast, too. Our handle on Twitter is @flopcast. And we're on Instagram, the_flopcast.
Yes, well, Cornflake, I hope that you are healthy and back here in Chickentown next week, because this has been a very weird show for us to record. It probably doesn't sound too weird to the listeners, but it sounds very weird to us right now. We've been dealing with the major weird technical issues all night, which hopefully are invisible to the listener.
And if you do catch traces of things that don't sound like our podcast normally sounds, it's my dog's fault.
Yes. Oh, and another plug. I forgot. I wanted to plug Grant's Advent calendar as well.
Yeah, that started.
I almost forgot. So super last minute plug right now. And that is our buddy Grant. He does a video podcast all through December every year. And that is Grant's Advent calendar. And you watch Grant open his Advent calendar every day.
And nothing's better.
Yeah, it's just watch. It's very silly and very fun. And you can find him at grantsadventcalendar.com. Check that out.
Trust me, you'll be waiting each day for the new one to come out. Happens every year to me.
All right, kids, that's it. We are done and we're exhausted, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Are you looking for a podcast that's a little bit out of the ordinary, a little bit crazy, and a little bit on the rambunctious side? Well, if I got something for you, it's called Vitamin Geek Podcast. My name's Corey Keelan. I'm the host and creator of Vitamin Geek Podcast, and I'm here to invite you to listen to my show. Each episode, I'm coming to you with whatever I think is important at the time. Maybe it's a new movie, maybe it's a comic book, maybe it's horror, maybe it's drag queens, who knows? I love to talk, and I'd just love to get you guys involved in the conversation. I invite you all to check out my Facebook page. It's facebook.com/vitamingeekpodcast. I would love to hear your feedback. So please join me and check us out here, Vitamin Geek Podcast, here on the ESO Network.
Confidentially, we're adopted.
Yeah, it's a heck of a story. Lost in the wilderness, we were raised by a flock of turkeys.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.